During the first weekend of May, CWERC and the Bering Sea Women's Group, along with support from the Office on Violence Against Women, or OVW, and the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, or CDVSA, hosted a conference to address domestic violence and sexual assault in the region of Western Alaska. Participants from St. Lawrence Island, Wales, and many other Bering Straits communities gathered at Nome Belt High School to discuss topics like substance use and trauma, advertising's impact on domestic violence and sexual assault, and the healing process for survivors. Nome resident and an employee with CWERC Wellness, Panganga Pangawi, says the main purpose of this wellness conference was to unify people.
To come together to talk about the current situation, the current outcomes of specifically Alaska Native women, and how those outcomes are really unacceptable, and how we can work together as a community to improve those outcomes and to work together in all parts of the spectrum, ranging from prevention all the way down to intervention, and how can we, once women or humans, you know, just people come forward and say they've been harmed, how can we better make sure that we are providing the services in an effective, safe manner so people are feeling, you know, they're perceiving that justice is being served and that victims are being treated well. I mean, it's for our families and it's for the people that we love. It's for ourselves, you know, people who have been harmed and the people that we love who have been harmed. They're all mothers, brothers, aunties. They all belong to somebody. And it's just in our value system to look out for one another and to take care of each other.
One session, presented by Jean Tagaban, was focused on how men can be part of the solution to stop domestic violence and sexual assault. Pangawi was not surprised there were far fewer men present at the conference than women.
This is an issue that for several years, decades even, people have been saying we need more men to be part of this conversation because it is men who have the ability to resolve this issue. Violence against women is not a women's issue. Violence against Native people is not a Native issue. It is a community issue, and more specifically, when you're speaking about violence against women that has been perpetrated by men, it's a men's issue.
Dr. Jean Kilborn, one of the other keynote speakers for the conference, noted that although only a few men were in attendance for these discussions, myself included, that is not an accurate representation of men's involvement in the solutions nationwide.
My audience in this case at this conference is mostly female, but that's not true of most of my audiences. And I've been speaking for 40 years now and all over in every state and a lot of different countries. And my audiences are usually, even if they're majority female, they're not entirely female. You know, there's been a lot of men. And I've also done a lot of work with men's groups and men's organizations. But I think what was important in this conference is that there were some men here and that they were men who are involved in these issues and that we're really not going to solve the problem of violence until more men step up and become involved. And as I said in my talk, most men are not violent. And in fact, overwhelmingly, most men are not violent. But many men are afraid to speak up and to support women and to challenge other men. And that's really what it's going to take in order to solve this problem.
Dr. Kilborn focused her presentation on advertising's image of women and how that is related to domestic violence and sexual assault.
Objectifying women has a lot of problems, but one of the things is that people who learn to see women as objects often can mistreat or abuse women because it's difficult to be violent to someone you consider an equal human being, but it's very easy to abuse a thing. And almost always the first step in violence is thinking of the person that you're being violent to as not really human, not a person equal to you, but rather a thing, an object. So the objectification that happens in advertising and throughout the popular culture may seem trivial, but in fact it has very serious consequences.
Pangawi and other participants acknowledged there are systemic issues Alaska Natives and victims of domestic violence and sexual assault experience.
I heard people from all parts of the community talking about systemic flaws, but talking about them very differently. And really what we gained out of that conversation was a recognition, a verbal recognition from everybody that we need to really sit down and talk about this on a relationship level, you know, relationships between systems and communities, and providing a platform for those community members who feel like they have no voice, and making sure that direct service providers also have a platform to speak about the things that they're facing, creating a place where we can really hear one another and we can move forward and actually get to resolving the issues within the system so we don't see the outcomes that we're seeing now.
In Dr. Kilbourn's years of experience with wellness conferences like this one, she feels they have and do make a difference when it comes to domestic violence and sexual assault.
Conferences like this do a lot of things. For one thing, they educate people about the issues of sexual violence and domestic violence. They help people to understand some of the myths and stereotypes that underlie a lot of the problems. And they also bring together people who are working on these issues, and that can be just very reaffirming and supporting. So they're important for all of these different reasons. And another thing that this conference did that was very interesting was it brought law enforcement together with advocates, and that's very important too, because it's incredibly important that people in law enforcement be really educated about these issues.
Christina Love is a person in long-term recovery from substance use disorder and a recovery advocate. She was visiting from Juneau for the conference and also stayed in Nome for the City Council work session on May 7th to support those women who proposed a resolution to the council.
Nome really isn't different from other places in that we're lacking resources and that we're lacking funding, but there isn't a lack of heart and there isn't a lack of brilliant minds and helping hands and people who are ready to really do the necessary work to have meaningful change. And so I really genuinely feel that if I had been homeless here, then people would see me, that they would hear me. And there is a hunger to want to do more.
The hope is that these conversations continue and some sort of action is taken to change how sexual assault and domestic violence are addressed in the region. Love was also a keynote speaker on the topic of substance use and trauma during Kowarik's conference. From her perspective, working towards solving the issues surrounding domestic violence and sexual assault begins within ourselves.
Our relationship with the world is a reflection of ourselves. And when we find that we don't have compassion for our brother or for our sister, then really what I found is that there's a level of compassion missing for ourselves. And so it's really inviting people to do the inside work so that we can create a space that cultivates healing, that cultivates compassion, that invites people in. It's also about using language that doesn't push people away. So when we use the words like addict or alcoholic, then we're referring to them as their disease. You know, I would never say, "Hi, my name is Christina and I'm asthma." You know, I would say, "Hi, my name is Christina and I have asthma," as well as, "Hi, my name is Christina and I'm a formerly incarcerated person in long-term recovery." Those are things that are both true. And using the language, or I would say that I'm a survivor of domestic violence and sexual assault. And when I use that language, what I'm saying is that I'm differentiating between me and people who did not survive. You know, and so I'm bringing education there. And then I'm also saying that addiction is a disease, it is a disorder, as well as what are the mechanics behind, like we've heard a lot of people say, like we need to do more communicating, but the thing is that people do the very best they can until somebody shows them another way. And so then it's really looking at, like, what are the mechanics of communication? Like, what does it mean to live an authentic, transparent lifestyle? What does it mean to dive in and do that inside work to look at my own biases, my own worldview? You know, what does it mean to examine the privilege that I have? What does it mean to, you know, to hold people accountable, to also hold myself accountable? And what are the steps to do that?
That involves myth busting and spreading education about the issues and its causes.
So we're looking at two different major things. We're talking about why addiction is a disease and why it is a disorder. And specifically to Alaska, we're looking at genocide and colonization and assimilation and how all of those factors play into those genetic predispositions that make people susceptible to addiction. So we go over the education of, we use information from like the Surgeon General's report and the addiction foreign policy. policy to really explain and break down what is a disease and why addiction fits into the category of a disease, and so that people don't feel shame and guilt if they found themselves in the grip of alcoholism or active use. Then we're also looking at the myth of why a lot of people think that substance use causes domestic violence. And the reality is that they overlap a lot. And then when we see the two coming together, then lethality rates are higher and injuries are more severe. So that we know that when the two overlap, then things get a lot worse, but they do not cause it. And so we look at those things individually, and then we break it down into three different sections. We look at how substance use can lead into trauma, how trauma can lead into substance use, and then also how substance use makes people vulnerable to perpetration, whether that's domestic violence or sexual assault.
And Love emphasizes that it's especially important for survivors of domestic violence or sexual assault to know that what has happened to them is not their fault.
It's important for people that have survived sexual assault, for people who have survived domestic violence, or for people who have found themselves within addiction, that they understand how those things come about. Because a lot of people blame themselves for sexual assault. A lot of people blame themselves for domestic violence. And everybody, I've never met somebody who didn't blame themselves for their addiction. And with science today, we know more about what causes addiction, you know, and how to prevent it or how to halt it, you know, and really giving people that education. There's a lot of freedom in that, knowing that you're not a bad person if you can't stop drinking, that it's not a moral failing, that it is a public health crisis. Understanding that if you were intoxicated and you were sexually assaulted, it's not your fault. Knowing that the causes of domestic violence come from dominant and controlling behavior, along with core beliefs about your position in the relationship, whether that's male or female or whatever. And so for people to understand really those things on a foundational level and then how they intersect, that brings liberation. You know, that when people understand those root causes, and then we can start to heal as a community. And that really is wellness.
If you have experienced domestic violence or sexual assault, Pungawi offers advice and words of support.
I would encourage you to talk about it in a way that you're comfortable with. And if you need to do some healing before you're able to, you know, think about things in the realm of systems change, you know, I've experienced myself a lot of trauma as far as, you know, domestic violence and sexual assault goes. And it takes a lot of healing before you're even able to think that things can change on a statewide or national level or even on a community level. And so I would encourage people to reach out to loved ones, and if you can, if behavioral health services is available, you know, reach out to them. There are also amazing hotlines. There are even online chats. If you're hearing any of this and you're finding that you're in crisis or that you've been harmed and now all these feelings are coming up, there are places for you to call, and you can always call Quirk Wellness too, or Norton Sound Health Corporation, and they have resources for people who kind of are still in the middle of their healing journey, and I'm still on my healing journey too.
For those of us who have not experienced sexual assault or domestic violence, Dr. Kilbourn points out that there is always more work that we can do to be part of the solution. If you are still healing, if you want to talk to someone, or if you need immediate assistance, please call the Bering Sea Women's Group, 1-800-570-5444 or 443-5444. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Davis Havie.